Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like to do it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, once again, for all of you that have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Friday night and it's heart to heart with Brother Lee and myself. It's also the voice of the handmaidens tonight, which means we'll be joined by the sisters in Christ, amen. And this invitation extends to all believers in the body of Christ, even if you're not a member of the same church we're in. As long as you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, this invitation goes out to you to join us on Blog Talk Radio. And so once again, I want to thank God for this opportunity and chance to come before you, the listeners, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we await for my brother to come on, I just want to take this opportunity. I just want to thank God for being God. And amen. Let's pray. Let's pray to the Lord right now. And anyone that has a need out there, I want to pray right now to the Lord for you. In the name of Jesus. Somebody right now is, you're encountering some things that's going on. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed day that you have made and this day that you have created, Lord God. And Father, I ask, Lord, this day that all that have been seeking your face and that's been searching for you, Lord God, that you would hear their cry. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, you said that you would supply all our need according to your riches and glory. Therefore, Lord, I come together with the people of God who have needs that they are lifted up before you, Lord. Father, you told us to put you in remembrance of thy word, to plead our cause before you. In the name of Jesus, we come this day standing on the word of God. For you said you know it what we need before we ask. So therefore, Lord, you told us to let our requests for thanksgiving be made known to you. And to be anxious for nothing. So therefore, Lord, we come today. And I come with other believers who have a need. And Lord God is lifting this need up to you. Lord, someone right now is in need of healing. They are in need of healing from bad headaches, Lord God. I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. The migraines we command to cease. We speak to the blood vessels in the head right now, and we say flow properly in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name, someone right now, Lord, needs the healing. Someone, Lord God, has a pain in their back. Right now in the name of Jesus, we come against that pain right now. Lord God, just stretch forth your hand, the power of your spirit, and touch that back right now and restore it right now. Remove that pain. Father, they have been taking pills after pills to remove the pain, but nothing has worked. Lord God, but your power works. So therefore, Lord God, we pray for that one who is having that bad backache right now. Someone is having a bad toothache right now in the name of Jesus. We speak to the infection in that tooth and we command it to go. We command it to come out in the name of Jesus right now, every bit right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Hallelujah, glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brother. God bless you on this blessed day in Christ Jesus.
Hello.
God bless.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah. Continue on if you have to.
Thank you, Lord.
Continue on.
We pray for the come against the pain in the leg right now. Glory. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Spirit of the Lord. Someone's leg out there is been giving them problems for a while. In the name of Jesus, we come against that pain. It's becoming unbearable. It's becoming disturbing. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we call you out, pain, and command you to go. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that person that, Lord God, that you would endow that person with wisdom. Sometimes, Lord, we can do things that are not wise. Lord God, Edabahasha, glory. Hallelujah, glory. Edabahasha. They need the wisdom right now, Lord God. Impart the wisdom to them in the name of Jesus. Someone's heart, Lord God. Hallelujah. Someone is having heart problems right now. We speak against those clogged arteries right now. We command those arteries to be open and to flow right now.
No.
In the name of Jesus. Right in the boho shake. Hallelujah. Right in the boho shake. Glory.
Thank
right
you,
now
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the
open,
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hey, glory.
Open.
Right now. Hey, holaba hashaka. Open in the name of Jesus.
Sprinkle the blood
right
of Jesus.
Now. Hallelujah. That which
sprinkle
clogging
the blood.
It, we command you to come out. That which is clogging it, come out right now.
Clogging.
Right now, in the name of Jesus.
In the name
loosen
of
that
Jesus.
Heart right now. Loosen those artery
yes.
valves right now. Loosen it right now
loosen
and let it go.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's
we come from the
blood.
Pain that's coming from it right now
Let's
in the name of
the blood.
Jesus. We come from against
yes.
the shortness of breath that's coming
shortness.
From it right now in the name
yes.
of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
We speak restoration of breath right now. Edabahasha, glory. Thank you,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you.
Someone needs a healing in their mind right now. Lord God, their mind has been disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
The past events of
yes.
attention has plagued the mind. It has disturbed
yes.
them, Lord God. Father, they haven't been
yes.
able to sleep, Lord God. In the name of
yes.
we know that this is a plan of the enemy
yes,
right
Lord
now.
Jesus.
And Satan, we rebuke
right
you. We rebuke the mind
Satan,
control.
We rebuke
spirit.
You.
We rebuke the spirits
yes.
of contention right now.
Yes.
Lord, restore
right
their
now.
Mind right now. In
restore.
The name, restore their mind right now. Freedom, Lord
yes.
God.
Free.
In the name of Jesus. Freedom right
Thank
now.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank
right
you,
now,
Lord.
The Bahasha. Glory. Ooh, glory.
Glory.
Oh, God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Oh, glory. Our sister witness
thank
of the
Lord.
Spirit is done. We
thank
you,
Lord.
It's done in the name of Jesus. It is done
thank
right
you,
now.
Lord.
Hallelujah. The mind has been restored right now.
Thank
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for you, brother, today. Thank God for you and your ministry. The God has blessed you with, brother. Thank God for you of all these many years that I have known you. And thank God for your perseverance and your relentless faith. And may the Lord continue to bless your ministry.
Sorry,
to continue to impart the word into your mouth. May he impart more of his word into you as you go out in the streets and on the corners. In the name of Jesus, may a fresh anointing come through the words that God will have you to give. In the name of Jesus, may it touch the drug addict and cause him to repent and be delivered from drugs in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, we
thank you, Lord.
We thank God. He glory. We thank God
thank
for you.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank God for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus and your ministry.
Hallelujah.
Has been a blessing
Lord.
To the church. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank God for you, brother. You know, prayers of faith to stir up the devil and put him in his place. Grateful for another heart to heart and faith to faith handmaid tonight. Count it a privilege that we are still. We started out almost a little over a year and a half ago. Thank God he has sustained us with the same diligent faith. So we started out with a lot of interference and hindrance and a lot of things just trying to hinder us from within and without. But thank God he's given us the grace to prevail. And I'm grateful to you that you're still standing strong. You know, because, you know, you can start on a journey, on a mission, but sometimes people are quick to quit and give up, you know. But I thank God that you don't have the quitting spirit. You have the Joshua spirit, so. And that's great, you know, because everyone don't stand the test when difficult comes. So I'm grateful for you that we're still standing together. You know, when we started out for the kingdom of God to declare the Elijah message, the word of the Lord given in this last generation and the work of the Church of Christ with the Elijah message and the end time message, the midnight cry, and we started out with very passion and zeal and enthusiasm. But, you know, when difficulties arise and Satan tried to interfere, then you know, people get all stretched out. But thank God that you, he's given you grace to stand the rebuff of the enemy, and we're still prevailing in Jesus' name. So, hallelujah. So we're grateful, you know. Yeah. Jesus started out, you know, because, you know, a good example is the apostles. Things got really, really tough. Weren't too many at the cross, you know. Weren't too many of them at the cross.
Amen.
It seemed like they was finding them a hiding place. So thank God we still are being sustained. Thank God for Emmanuel that he helped open the way for Block Radio and that our prayers were answered and God moved upon him and worked in him to engineer the opening of this radio. Thank God for Brother Kevin. We lift him up. He, you know, he has a lot of different tests that happened in his life and still happen in his life. But with God's wisdom and power and might, he'll prevail. Thank God for him. And then for those that support, those that are behind the scene that, you know, who support in different ways. And we thank God for the listeners. Far and wide, as God has given them the ear to listen to our broadcast in other nations. So I'm grateful for he opened the way that other people in other nations, more of them listen than the people in our own nation. So we're grateful for that, you know.
Yeah.
They're hungry for the truth of God. So I'm just grateful for that. I guess we agree, you know, Sister Helen, Sister Leticia, Alicia, I think she's in the hospital with a serious condition. So we lift our hands up to heaven for her agree that heaven would smile upon her and that your hand would prevail in her behalf. It is good in your sight to let her life prevail, let it be so. But if it's wisdom in your sight, let it be not so. Let wisdom prevail. We thank you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have this, what we refer to it as, what is it, the sixth day? Sixth day. And the handmaidens, and let's remember Sister Gladys Caston Moore. She has a lot of things work in that part of Alabama, and she's struggling to keep the work revive and alive in her area. A faithful sister, Gladys Caston Moore. There's a few people in another part called Jeanette Simmons and her group prevailing to keep this work alive. So may the Lord shine upon them, his countenance, and his face, lift up his face upon them. And Hamilton, then there is once who was a great stalwart warrior for this way, Sister Juanita Williams. May your Lord face be lifted upon them, your countenance upon them also, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. You know what I was thinking about a short time when I came in?
Amen.
I was thinking about several subjects that Satan is attacking. And the most important, I call the most important, important truth in the Bible is concerning the atonement. The atonement. Let me get in this room so I can, just a minute. So let's see what we can do about explaining why Satan attacking and, you know, Satan is doing all he can to destroy a certain truth. So he wants to destroy certain truths. And I was thinking about the most important revelation of truth is the atonement, the power of the blood.
Yeah.
All through the scriptures, all through the beginning of the fall of man, the promise of an atonement, the atonement. The most promising hope for mankind is a redeemer, and an atonement will be made at one mit. I call it the one, they call it the atonement. As it translated in English, atonement. I call it the atonement. But it's about the blood. It's about the atonement. And the most important two truths in the Bible is about the atonement and the Passover lamb and the resurrection. There is no more truth greater than the atonement and the resurrection of Christ. If there is no atonement, no resurrection, there is no hope. So let us say the good news is the atonement, the atonement, the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, and the resurrection of his victory is the most focused point of the whole scriptures. The last part of it is second coming. But without the blood, the sprinkling of blood, and I was thinking about the power of the blood, Satan, you know, everywhere in religion, they must deny, overlook, and put out this important truth that is the blood of redemption through one man and the power of his resurrection that gives us hope. So all religions, so Satan must attack the blood, the immaculate blood, by a sinless Son of Man to redeem us. If the blood if Jesus was not the Son of God, not the Son of Man, without sin, and all false religions, and all religions of the world believe in Jesus, but you know they don't believe that he's the Christ, that his blood atoned for the sin. Now, here's the trick that Satan has been spreading this lie. We believe in Jesus. We believe he's a good man, a prophet, and all that stuff. But when they get right to the point where Satan knows what is necessary to redeem man, he denies the power of the blood, the power of his death, that he was just a sinful nature just like the rest of us, that he was not conceived of the Holy Ghost. They must deny and destroy that. Satan comes all the way up and deceives people. Yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we believe he was the master. He lived 2,000 years. Oh, yes, he's a good man. He's a prophet. He's one of the masters. But they deny this great truth that he was the sinless Son of God, sinless Son of Man, sent into the world to redeem man, all human race, from the fallen curse of sin and death, and that he rose on the third day. This is what they must fight against. Satan is fighting. That's why he leaves it out of every religion. They believe in Jesus. They don't believe he's the Christ. They don't believe he's the Messiah. They don't believe that he's the very Son of God. This is what people are getting tricked on. Oh, they believe in Jesus, just like we do. Yes, but what do they believe about this Jesus? Here's right. where the false and the deception. What do they believe? What do Islam believe about this Jesus? What do Buddha? What do Hindu? What do Mormonism? What Jehovah's Witness? Whatever. Baptist man. What do they believe about this biblical Bible promised one called Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Christ? If Jesus was not the Christ, the anointed one, the promised, the sinless one, if he was just another man, we have no hope. Now, you know the verse promise, we're going to read a few scriptures here. Most of the time we're going to read the word and let the word go out to the entire world, which is written. The first promise for the fallen Adam, first promise of hope, is found in 3 and 15. The first promise after Adam sinned and fell in spiritual death, in physical death, and separation from the presence of God and from the paradise, and death started on him, is 3:15. The first promise is so important that most people do not understand why Satan put in the heart of Cain to kill his brother. Now, most people don't understand why he put a murdering spirit, Cain, to kill his brother Abel. It's more than what meets the eye. Why he had to cut off Abel? Why did he have to murder him? Why did Satan move upon Cain to destroy his brother? It's a lot more to the truth of the plan of God. Satan was in heaven, you know, brother, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. He knows he knows some about the plan of God. Before he fell, he was an archangel, one of the most intelligent, smartest, wisest, talented cherubim in heaven. So he knows somewhat about the plan of God, about the plan of man and the creation. So he has some information about it. But there are certain things he don't know that was hid from him. Because if he had knew and understand the full plan of God, he would have never killed Jesus. I said if Satan knew the full plan about redemption, he would have never had Jesus killed and murdered. For in doing so, he fell into the plan of God called redemption. If he knew what he was doing to kill Jesus and was bringing about the plan of redemption, he would never would have done it. He never would have done it. You know, if he knew and understood about the plan of God, that shows you Satan don't know everything. He just knows a few some things. He's aware of some things.
But he's not all-knowing. He don't all see everything. He's not in every place at the same time like God. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and all-knowing. Satan knows a little part. Hallelujah. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. And he's not in every place at the same time. He is the go and come. But our God is in every place at the same time. He don't have to go nor come. He's already there. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent, omniscient. Listen. If all through the line of the Bible, it talks about two seeds. From the Garden of Eden, it talks about these two seeds at war. All the way through the scripture. And the war still goes on. Satan's seed above God's seed. The fight goes with still rages right to the end of the world between the redeemed people of God and the other people that Satan is mustered up, called the other seed, the seed of rebellion. So the war goes on, and the war is now permanent to a point of climactic end where the battle of evil and righteousness coming to a collective end, the righteous against the unrighteous, the redeemed from the unredeemed. It's coming to a head, the world against the righteous, the ungodly, the sinner, who rebel and continue to follow darkness, who do not want the light. There are people who do not want the light, brother. Do you not know there are people that Jesus said they love darkness? John chapter 3, verse 15, they love darkness, and they will not come to the light. Hallelujah. There are some people that love darkness, brother. They love wickedness and unright, and they will not come to the light. That's the seed of the wicked one. Now, his sheep, John, his sheep, Jesus' sheep, talks about his sheep, the 10th chapter. He said, my sheep. Now, he's not just talking about Israel alone, natural Israel, even though natural Israel comes into it, his sheep. But the real sheep is the one that followed the Lamb. And to get this straight now, not just the natural Jew who did not follow, they will eventually, many will come, but the real sheep are those that follow the Lamb, wherever we go, the Lamb of God. Now, that's how you're going to divide who's going to be his sheep, because the Bible said they follow the Lamb. Fifth chapter of Revelation and the 10th chapter of John. My sheep, how are you going to determine? When they hear my voice, what is what? The gospel of love and redemption. When they hear the gospel of love and redemption, his sheep is going to respond. That's, they know the voice, and they hearken to the voice. They're convicted. But there are those that love darkness who are deceived, the wicked one. Some will never turn to be his sheep by decision and by choice. All right. You notice that the blood of redemption and the Passover lamb is not in any of the religions of the world. Why is that? How many religions you think we got? We got about four major religions, right?
Yeah.
And these four major religions in all nations is about, I don't know, maybe 4 billion people.
Yeah,
maybe almost 4 billion.
Yeah.
Christianity is over 3 billion, I think. But let's go back here. The nation is divided in darkness and light, in false religion and deception. Now, among these false religions, there are many good people, wonderful people who are longing and seeking for the truth of the Creator, the one Creator, one Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in their hearts, they're longing for the truth, and he knows them. Now, here's the Bible, what he says in the 10th chapter. Let's go to the 10th chapter right quick. Let's talk about the blood, because we got to go. We're going to be long. Let's go to the 10th chapter of John before we go to 3:15, where he made the promise to Adam. He made a promise to Adam in Genesis 3:15. He made this promise concerning the blood and the cross, the blood and the Messiah and the cross. Do you know why many religions hate the cross? When you mention the cross, he died on the cross. You know when Islam and Arabs get up when you said Christ died on the cross, they jump and get mad and upset. And they're stirring, ain't no cross, ain't no death. You know why the devil gets so upset among these religions? They can be good ones for people. They just get all up riled. When you mention, all right, that's John 10 and 10, John 10 and 9. He talks about his sheep. And that each man, basically, Israel was his chosen people in the flesh, Israel. But the scripture talks about another people beyond the physical people, a spiritual people who accepts the gospel and the death of the Lamb. They follow the Lamb of God, the Lamb. Now, they're following this Jesus as the prophet, but they accept Jesus as a prophet or as a good man, or religion. Now, here's what the devil is tricking. Most all of the major religions of the world accept Jesus as a man and as a prophet. Did you get that? Right? Amen. Understand that?
Amen.
That's the trick. If Jesus is only a man, like the rest of us, he's under sin. He got the same sinful nature like we got. He's a good man, a wonderful man. If he's a prophet, that a prophet can't die for your sin. It takes a man, a good man, can't die for your sin. We're going to find out why the devil is tricking people. Well, I believe in Jesus, but do you believe that he's the Son of God without sin who died and gave his life a ransom for the sins of the world and rose on the third day? That's the catch.
Yeah.
That's the catch. Okay? Examine every theory, every culture, every religion, the atonement, the devil is a liar. The devil is a deceiver. What is the great deception? Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, the sinless Son of God. He did not die for the sins of the world. He got to keep that lie going in every religion. But he's very tricky. He talks nice about Jesus, you know? Oh, he was a master, good man. He did a great work. He was a prophet. And the people say, oh, they be talking lies about Jesus. Yes, that's deception. Lie, because there is no redemption in a man, him being a good man. He has to be the promised seed, born without sin, not under the curse of sin, not having sin for nature. He has to be the Son of God, the promised Redeemer for the world. We don't believe all that. So here are the four major religions. They got many religions, hundreds of many religions, but the four major ones, what do they believe about the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the Savior, who shed his blood? The devil knows this, that the blood of redemption is the only thing that can give you a passing grade. And the hope of it, living again, eternal life, is the power of the resurrection. That's why Jesus had to defeat death and the grave so that we will rise again and live eternal with him. So what the devil does, he tells Hinduism, many good people in there, Buddhism, many great, good, wonderful people in there, caring people. He tells them about Zoroaster and Islamism and name it, the other religion. Void of the blood of redemption, right?
Right. Right.
But they speak well of Jesus. But not him. He's not the Christ.
Amen.
he's not the Redeemer of the world. He's not the sinless one. Oh, okay. I know the devil don't like it, but I'm going to bust it bubble in, because no matter what you trust in, if the blood of Jesus is not in it, you're out of it. If you're trusting in anything but the suffering death, you can trust in a church organization. You can trust in a secular organization. You can trust in the business. You can trust in your righteousness. You can trust in your goodness. You can trust in your education. You can trust in anything but the blood and the death of Christ, you have no redemption. Okay. Now, notice that people are putting their trust in their goodness or their church organization. What else are they putting their trust in, brother?
Oh, they're putting their trust in their material things, in their cars, their houses, in their jobs.
Okay. Spiritually, they're trusting in their own goodness to get them to heaven. Their own knowledge, their own niceness, their own good works. They're trusting in the wrong thing. You know, people are trusting more in their church organization than they're trusting in the one that redeemed them. They're putting their trust in organizations rather than the one that's the chair of the organization, Jesus the Christ. So you examine the organization, see what they're trusting in.
Amen.
Now, we believe in the coming of Elijah message that he's a servant only, that Elijah and angels are messenger and servants only. They are servants, messengers and angels and watchers and men on the earth. They are servants. They are not to be worshipped, adored, because they have no power to save. Only Jesus, the Lord, can save. We got that right?
Amen.
Listen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the promise about the blood, it gets more the atonement, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Islam is the largest second religion in the world. And there are thousands of good people, wonderful good people within her. But you know what Satan has done? He's sown that seed. This is Adam, from the time of Adam, Satan sown a seed all over the world in every nation on the earth. This seed of deception, this seed of deception is found in every nation upon the earth, except those who refer to themselves as believers in the cross and the resurrection. They go over that again. The death on the cross and the blood and the resurrection. Satan fears this truth. He got to erase this truth. He must move this away. When he moves those two truths, it is no longer the gospel. Look what I say now. When you move the truth about the blood and its death and its resurrection, it's no longer the gospel. It's a religion. I said, it can be a church, but it's not the gospel. It can be a religious. It can be a group, but it's not the gospel of Christ. What did Paul say? Chapter 1, Romans 1 and 16 and 17. Know what he says? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power. Wait a minute, this great apostle comes to this great conclusion. It's his death on the cross that's the center for and the core of everything. His blood, his redemption that reclaimed the fallen, lost man. He must trust in the blood death. Now. He says to the Jews, his own people, I am not ashamed, Romans 1:16. This is the most pronounced truth in the Bible. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua HaMashiach. For it is the power, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Did you get that?
Amen.
To the Jew first. They were given the first. Then the Gentiles, the Greek, and the Gentile, and all. Listen. All right. The blood atonement. The only thing that can sprinkle. Let's read a couple of scriptures before we get off this thing here. To prove that why the devil hates the blood sacrifice and the resurrection so much. Do you know why the Lord Jesus put in his church to keep the sacrament, what we call the Holy Communion? You know why it's the one of the most important revelation that he told the church? He didn't. Now notice he didn't say keep Christmas a Easter, a Halloween, a Halloween, a Halloween, Halloween, or none of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
He didn't make that a part of the commandment or order of God, did he? Didn't put that. Now,
right.
I'm not saying that Christmas is to keep in remembrance of Jesus Christ is not a good thing. That remember Jesus is born, that's a great thing, a wonderful thing. But then notice that Jesus said, he didn't say keep Christmas, did he? Keep my birth.
Right. Right.
He said, in the upper room, when he about to pass Passover supper, he says, do this always in remembrance of me. Keep this as a reminder. What is it they got to keep reminding us of? This Passover lamb. Who? The Passover lamb. Without sin. Listen. What did John the Baptist say when he baptized Jesus, the Son of Man, when he came to Jordan? What did he say? In John chapter
behold
1, what did he say? What did he say?
Behold the Lamb of God. Who come, behold the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world.
Oh, he didn't say, behold the prophet or the nice man, did he? Because a prophet can't die. But he could have said, everybody said he's a prophet. He's a master. No. A prophet. We had all kind of prophets in the Bible. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. All the one of Moses. All of, none of them prophet can't die because they were under sin like anybody else.
Amen.
But he said, behold the Lamb of God. Is that what he said, brother?
That's what he said.
The Lamb. The Lamb.
Amen.
The Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. That takes away the sins of the world. Now, put that into every religion on the world and make that your focus point. Behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. Turn all your attentions upon the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, hallelujah. If Satan had knew the whole plan of God when he was in heaven as an angel, he would have made a lot of different decisions. But because he's not privileged to all knowledge and all the plan of God when he was in heaven, he made some fool mistakes. I said the devil made some fool, silly mistakes. The first big mistake that dummy made, is think that he's going to take over the throne of God. How dumb can you get?
Amen.
He got a nerve to be walking around in the earth calling other people a dummy, and he's the biggest dummy.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Let's see if we can get this blood where it ought to be, this blood, this one blood. You know, in the human part of anatomy and biology and studying about human life, the blood is the center, the heart and the blood is the center point of all life. Because the blood flows to the tentacles of all parts of the heart, proper blood must flow to all parts of the body, the brain, and everything. Proper flow of the blood. Because the life of all flesh, Leviticus 11 says, is in the blood. Of all human, is in the blood. When the blood goes out of your body, the life goes out. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Power of the blood. When people are dying, they say, get some blood in them, right? Get that blood going. Get some blood in. Get that blood in them, brother. Get that blood pressure in. Get that blood up in them. Get that blood. Can we find some blood? Get 2 pints, 3 pints of blood. Power of the blood of all life. The blood. You know, when you in a room and you start preaching or teaching or releasing the power of the blood, you start preaching a love about the blood, demons are going to start talking. And speaking and crying out.
Yeah.
Amen. If you go in there and release the power of the redemption and preach and talk about the redemption of the blood and the resurrection, somebody gonna get very uncomfortable or gonna leave, or they're gonna ask for deliverance or salvation.
Amen.
Because his sheep. His sheep are divided by the blood and the resurrection and the love of God.
Amen.
They will come to him. Jesus said, this is how the separation going to take place. See, I don't know, but the gospel of the blood and the redemption is going to make sure the dividing line. I don't have to judge who's going to come, who ain't his sheep. When the gospel of the love of Christ and redemption is declared, preached, and lived, that's going to divide and separate who is and who's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. I got to read a couple of scriptures here. It's the 16th chapter of Leviticus. Way back in the Old Testament, I asked the Islam person once when I was out at the auto show at McCormick Place in Chicago. They had all these booths, and I was trying to tell them that Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, was the Ahmadi, the one they trying to say in their religion, that he was the one, the promised one. I said, tell me, beloved Islam lady, why do you see from the beginning of the world in Israel, God's chosen people, they had to always sacrifice in blood and offer up an animal and offer up a lamb? Do you know what that means? What is that talking about? Why did Abraham offer up his own son? I said, do you know why Abraham offered his own son, what that represents? When he took Isaac and represented and put him, and the Lord said, offer up your own son. I said, tell me what all this blood that Jacob's and all the seeds and why they had to put up a lamb. And why is that lamb is not in your religion?
Yeah.
I'm just asking, you know, I'm dumb enough to ask. You know. I'm dumb. I said, your prophet is Muhammad. I said, no, I'm not trying to disrespect. I said, did he get up when he died? I know y'all was going to the grave and everything, but did he get up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did sweet daddy grace, father divine, they worship them as God. Did you go to their grave? Did they get up? Are they still there? Okay. When you go to Asia, and I'm not trying to make fun of these people. They are many are good people. They just don't know. They're still ignorant to the truth. Yeah, they're wonderful, good people. When you go to Asia, you see they got a big old Buddha sitting up there, a statue.
Right.
I mean, he's big. And I wonder, this statue got more life than me? If he got more life than me, why did I have to recreate him? Tell me this, Brother Nate. If the thing that I created, and I'm wishing it down to somebody I created, well, who? Tell me now, how did that go? I recreated. Now, I'm a human being, and I recreated Buddha. And I'm falling down to something I recreated in a statue of stones and mortar. Now, tell me about that. Does he walk? Does he talk? Does he give me food? Does he deliver me? Is he just a big statue I made? See, all the things in the world that people are worshiping, they made them out of their own imagination. You notice that they create things out of their own mind, imagination, and they build them out of stones and sticks and wood, and they bow down to them. That's kind of backwards, don't you think?
Yeah. Amen.
You know, yes. Notice that all the big gods of all the nation has got a big statues, a big forms of snakes and animals and different gods, and like reptiles, and they say that's our God. But they all look like animals, brother, most of them.
Yeah.
And they bow down and said, Dagon and Baal and Baal Peel and Balaam, this is our God. And we big old statue of gold and big lips, and he can't walk, he can't talk, he don't do nothing, he just sit there over the stones.
Right. Amen.
What's going on here? Amen. Now, I don't make it no fun, not to offend. But for me to pray to Mary, a big chain around my neck, and good Catholics got this chain and this thing around their neck they pray to, the opposite of what God said, thou shalt make no image, no likeness, no form of any sort to submit a bow or worship it.
Yeah.
For I am the Lord your God. Worship me only. Okay. I guess we ain't got it yet. Maybe we will. Now, many good Christians and good intent, they have a big picture in their church, most of them. Somebody them painted. And they say, they look at the picture, and they say, that's Jesus. You explain that to me, brother?
Yeah. Yeah, they look at the picture and say, yeah. It's amazing for the truth. All these pictures and images of Christ is set up, and like you said, people said that's Jesus right there, automatically. And go to worshiping the picture too.
Yes, it draws their attention to adoration and worship. Now, this is one of the things that the Lord didn't want us to do. We get a cross, and I believe that it's okay to have the cross to symbolize Jesus died for the sins of the world, but they go buy a cross for much money, like there's some power in that piece of gold and wood around their neck. They draw attention away from the real living Christ, and they begin to look to that wooden thing around their neck and pray, and they hold to it like, help me. And they looked to the cross and the big old Jesus and the wooden stone around their neck, and they paid thousands of dollars for it. And they bless it, and maybe somebody, the Pope or somebody, bless it, and they'll start praying to that thing. Then they'll pray that, whoa. And then many good, wonderful people make a big old picture of Jesus, and they put it in the church, and they say, that's Jesus. I differ with them. That's a picture.
Amen.
And that's an image.
Yeah.
And it draws attention from the real Christ. Hallelujah. That's supposed to be in your life.
Amen.
And you begin to look and draw your attention and say, oh, that's Jesus there on that picture there. And you bow down in your house. Oh, that's Jesus. Let me bow before this picture here and this big statue, this big old cross. Let me pray to Jesus on the cross or on the table. You got to think about what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Somebody made a picture, took a picture. Somebody took a pen and paint, and they printed, and they made a picture. I said they made a picture. They drew a drawing.
Amen.
Well, somebody ain't glad yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Leviticus. About from the Old Testament, a picture, a what they call a symbolic picture is drawn to us in the Old Testament, pointing to the real, real thing that was to come. They had to sacrifice a lamb every year in Israel.
Amen.
The most sacred day of the year, which is called the Atonement. They had seven special days that represent revelations of truth. Israel had seven special feast days. The most important day of the year for the Jews to celebrate in Israel was the Atonement, Yom Kippur. The Atonement. It was the most important sacrifice that the priest had to make once a year in the temple for the sins of the whole nation. For the sins. Let's read Leviticus 16, chapter beginning at the first one. Give us
Leviticus
a picture.
Chapter 16, verse 1. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered before the Lord and died. The Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive unto the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud or the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take up the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with the finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he would deal with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle it of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place in the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities of the land not inhabited, and he shall go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin of offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you.
A statute to you forever. Now, you see what he was making, a picture, an image of things to come, giving us what was going to be needed. That was a picture and a type. What Israel did was a type and a shadow of the real thing that had to come. They would keep it in their day. God was going to accept it in their day until the real came. The real sacrifice. Notice he talks to Aaron. Aaron had to make an atonement for himself first and for his family. If he didn't, he would die.
Right.
He would fall down. He had to first make himself an atonement for himself, to be reconciled, and to his family, and to his house. Then, before he could make an atonement for the sins of all Israel, for one nation, for one year, God would not see their sins. Their sins will be covered for a whole year. Listen. Then they had Jesus was a lamb and a scapegoat. You notice he was also a lamb and a scapegoat. The goat confessed his sins, called a scapegoat, and he would be let loose after he confessed his sins of all Israel upon that scapegoat. Put his hand and transfer all the sins to that scapegoat. Therefore, God would not see their sins for a whole year. He could not see it. Hallelujah. He didn't count it for a whole year. And they had to process. Aaron had to do this year by year. Now, the process he was told to follow about the clean linen and the purity.
Right.
If he choose not to follow the instruction about the atonement and the sacrifice, he would die. When he enter into the holy place, he would fall down. And they had a long old pole that would pull him out. Apparently, some of the high priests did not follow the instruction about the atonement and sacrifice, so they fell dead. And so they have to have a pole, they hear that little tinkling bell. They would say that when they didn't hear that tinkling bell around the priest, they know he's dead. So they take this pole, because they couldn't enter into the holy place, took that long pole and pulled him out of there. So, thank God we got the high priest Jesus. Okay. That was a strict thing at that time, brother. You fall dead in that holy. Only the high priest could go into the holy holy. Only one man could go in the holy and atone for you. That's why Jesus is the only one that can go before the Father and atone for you. See, he's the only one. Just like Aaron is the only one can make the high priest. Jesus in Hebrews 7:25 is the high priest that had gone into heaven and sprinkled the books that were against us. Hallelujah. See, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he still had a mission during his death. He had to go before God and sprinkle the books. But before he could go sprinkle the books, he had to pull off that garment of sin. The angel took the garment. When he went to heaven, they took that garment of sin because he was a scapegoat. And that garment was removed from him because he had to bear our sins and our iniquity. And that coat had to be removed from him. That's why Aaron had to leave the garment in there. So when Jesus went before the Father and done his death, when he went up to heaven and sprinkled the blood and offered the blood for us, those garments, which was our sins, our iniquities, had to be pulled off of him because he can't go into the Father's presence with that garment of sin. Therefore, when he went into heaven as a high priest, sprinkled his own blood for us and for everyone that would believe on him. That blood, it was sprinkled against everything, every curse, every iniquity and sin was sprinkled when he blotted out and he took his blood into heaven as the high priest and offered himself for once and forever. Once sacrificed forever. Forever. His blood after the sin forever. Thank you, Jesus. All right. How much time we got? 20 minutes?
Yeah, you got about 25.
All right, Sister Anderson, you out there?
Hey.
Oh, I guess that this is Friday night. This is the sixth night, so people, families, they're busy. Hallelujah. Oh, they're busy all night, so this is a busy night. The power of the blood, if we don't take the message of the atonement, which is redemption, let's I got 20 minutes. I'm going to read these scriptures here, brother, about the atonement.
Sister Anderson is going to join us now. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. I'm sorry. You just have to forgive me for my selfishness. I was just enjoying the word.
Oh, that's not why is that selfishness. You're just doing what all sheep do. Should do. All right. The power of the atonement and the resurrection is the centerfold of the whole Bible. If you were to tear the Bible, let me put this out seriously. If the atonement and the resurrection is taken out of the Bible, you could lay your Bible aside and forget about it.
Yeah.
Because you have no hope. Moses
Amen.
Could not redeem you.
Amen.
Moses could not redeem you. No, he was the greatest prophet.
Amen.
In the fifth chapter, it said no angel from heaven could not come down. No angel was worthy to come. They looked from heaven and earth. They looked from on the altar to find somebody to come to redeem us. No angel, no prophet, no man could pay the price. On the altar came a lamb.
Yes.
Brother, they look heaven and earth to find somebody. You look in Psalms and in Revelation 5 and Solomon, they look and they ask the question, who will go for us? Who will go?
Yeah.
Under the altar in heaven came a lamb. With the Father from the beginning. The lamb was with the Father before the beginning. I put it this way. The lamb was with him always. The plan was before man. The plan had already, before man was created. Under the altar, when they asked the question, no angel was worthy to go.
Jeez.
I know Jehovah's Witness tell me Jesus was an angel. No, I'm sorry. I love y'all, Jehovah's Witness. I love y'all. But that trying to make Jesus an angel. No. Michael, he's not Michael. Sorry about that. Michael could not die for us. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Gabriel couldn't die for us. No. No flesh. No human flesh under sin. Listen, under the altar, in Revelation came one, under the altar said, I will go. The running offspring of David would come. He would come through the seed of David. Hallelujah. You come through the seed of Abraham to the promise. It said the Lamb of God came. Not a prophet. No. Not a prophet. Not a good man. Not a master. But a lamb.
The Lamb of God. Yes, Lord.
It took the lamb. That was the promise. Somebody had to sacrifice to go to redeem man. I'm glad that he did.
Yes.
I'm glad. I'm rejoiced.
Yes, Lord.
Now, every religion in the world, they can exalt Mary, Peter. I believe in the coming of John the Baptist and the last day message. I do not worship him. He's a servant. He's a servant. He's only a servant. I can't put him above Jesus. He's a servant that comes from Jesus. He bring a word from the Lord, but I can't put him above my Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If John does not come, we got the word. We got the Holy Spirit to depend on.
Yes.
We cannot wander in the wilderness, wandering around like the children. It did not follow the cloud, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. We still have to reckon that the Holy Spirit is the one. And the gospel we have at hand already. Thank you, Jesus. We should not be in confusion. We should not be in confusion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Behold, the Lamb of God. We need to focus our attention upon the Lamb of God, like John Baptist told us. Behold, the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
I must decrease. Yeah. He must increase. Increase.
Right.
Increase in our lives. John is a servant. He come in the second time. He's still a servant.
Yes.
He's still a messenger. He's coming again as Elijah. He's still just a servant, though.
Yes.
No angel of God will accept worship.
Mm-hmm.
Only demons accept worship. Only false religion accept worship. Satan craves worship. Satan craves in the fourth chapter of Matthew's, when he came to Jesus in the wilderness, what did he want? He wanted Jesus to fall down and worship him. That's the one thing he wants. He wants worship. That's why every demon religion, every demon religion in the world, they bow and worship to them. Satan and these demons over these nations, they want worship. They want what Satan wants in heaven. He wants all the worship. That's why he wanted in heaven, the angels, one-third of them, followed him. One-third of them, they adored him, worship him. They turned their eyes upon their off their creator. Never turn your eyes upon the Lamb, away from the Lamb. Don't let nothing get between you and the Lamb of God. Nothing and nobody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I can call every Christian in the world that's been born and believe in the death and the resurrection and the blood is my brother. You don't have to belong to the church of God or church of this or church of that. That ain't the key thing. The key is your relationship with the Lamb of God. Say, behold, the Lamb. That's the key.
Yes.
All right. All right, go ahead, Sister Anderson. I didn't mean to leave you out the last few minutes. Okay.
Oh, that's okay, brother. That's okay. You can continue on. I just thank and I praise the Lord for the word. The word is good. People need to know that their hope is in the blood and Christ Jesus who shed the blood. I just thank and I praise God for the word. And for the ones that's out there, I was listening to the prayer that Brother Nate opened with. And for the people that's out there and going through all these different types of sickness and things that are coming up on them, I just want them to know that me, myself, the people of God, are standing and lifting them up and holding them up.
Amen. Well, hopefully we will set a day beginning very soon, one day, and fast and pray for every different problem. We'll pick, if the Lord so permit, a day that we will deny ourselves and focus on bringing a breakthrough and deliverance that the Lord want to bring to every one of us that's facing oppression and attack and affliction from the enemy. That we set our hearts and make a consecration just one day. Everybody can make a little, 12 hour, 13, 14 hours or something to deny themselves for the breakthrough. I think that if we unite ourselves, whatever do, small or little, when you do it in united passion, the Lord would recognize it greatly. He would recognize that. And that we'll see, we'll meditate a day to fast and focus the word of God and the promise of God to every need. And so we need to start doing it. We'll probably set a day, if the Brother Nate has set a particular day, that we'll deny ourselves and give that as a consecration, a denial for the progress and the help of many people.
Amen.
I think as we go that we're under attack by an enemy that knows his days are short, and he's going all out to attack and wear the saints out emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, and home-wise. He's attacking. So we got to attack back. We got to attack back. We got to get in the warrior state and attack warrior. Our little sister, Cynthia Rogers, she was an attack warrior. Boy, and my wife, they was attack warriors. So I commend her in her day. She was a warrior who knew how to attack. She'd be greatly missed.
Yes.
And love. Hallelujah. Thank God. Okay, Amen. Brother Nate, what do you have? Have you been progressing on your new venture this week?
Amen. It's been a blessing. I'm now going to be part four of the section of the history of the Masons, talking about the different claims of their origin that they've claimed. I thank God that He has enabled me to do it because strongly each night since I've opened, the Spirit of the Lord has been with me and ministering to me as I've been on the broadcast on that subject. And it's amazing the things that God will reveal to you and the things that he will reveal to the people, because he wants to see the people delivered as well as I. So it has been a blessing from the Lord to been able to be able to start this series. And God has been blessing me each day I've been on with it. Once again, the part four will be on Monday. And then we will go on to the next part of the series of Masonry after that. So it truly indeed is a blessing of the Lord.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. We'll surround you with our prayers. My big concern now is about the widows and the hungry around the world. What we can do to reveal the love of Christ to those starving, deprived children, and for the servants of God who are working for God, who are lacking much and need our help here in America. So I'm looking ways that I can minister to the hungry and poor and the children that are crying out, who have no medical attention, no water, and no food. It is in Haiti right now, it's even got worse. Now that these storms and things have hit these many nations, we have to think about what can I do to aid our brothers and sisters in these nations.
Yes. Amen.
And what means of compassion and love we must show toward them. And I think it is time for the Church of the Living God to do all it can for their brothers abroad.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you,
yes.
Jesus.
I think we need to stand together with our brothers around the world, united stand, because Satan in his darkness of getting that stuff together all over the world, so the believers have to stand bold and strong together, united, to help and support one another in every place.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, give us a heart of compassion. Give us to show mercy and kindness to our brothers and those that are not our brothers in these nations, Lord. Give us the direction. Give us the wisdom to do so, Lord. And give us the two where we can reach out, like you reached out to those that are in desperate need. And we thank you for the opportunity that we can share and love our neighbor as ourselves, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. I just want to be delivered from this thing about my church group and they church group. And I don't, you know, this thing about I can't show special love just my, I think that's, it is one of the things that has bothered me about people that call themselves Christians. They get into these little groups and they begin to sectize and think that their love is only due in that little group, and millions of people around them need the love of Christ. And love of God is not in a secular wall. It is a redeeming love to all people. And I think many, many church groups who think that they're just to love the people in their little group, I think that is one of these things that we have not understood, that love is not within a wall and not partiality. And so the love of God reaches out to all. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for another blessed broadcast today. Thank God for another golden opportunity that he has given us to share the very word of God, the gospel of Christ, to the listeners. Don't forget, to those of you listening, tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart, Voice of Handmaidens Night. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Lord, same. Once again, we love you all. This is Brother Lee with Brother Nate and Sister Anderson. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.